cosmogenesis. Without an observer, the universe wouldn't exist. After all, who would it exist for, let alone evolve? Which is to say, it might as well be dead. Quantum theory reflects back to us, to again quote Wheeler, that the universe would be nothing without observership, as surely as a motor would be dead without electricity. In the act of observation, the physical reality of the world becomes actualized. In this self-generating, self-referential feedback loop, it is the physical world that generates observers who are responsible for bestowing seemingly tangible reality to its existence. To quote Stapp, humans weren't brought into the universe to passively observe it, but to contribute to the actual unfolding of the actual. From an atom's point of view, it would be an impoverished universe without physicists, since physicists are the atom's way of knowing about itself. This is similar to how light, out of its thirst to be seen, creates an eye in order to simultaneously illumine and be illumined. The eye, being solar, light-based in nature, owes its existence to light. Two lights brighten our world, the light provided by the sun and the light of the human eye as it realizes the sun's radiance and responds to it. Only through their interaction do we see. Lacking either, we are blind. It is not that one moment the photon of light leaves the sun and after a certain amount of time enters the eye. Rather, eye consciousness and light are intimately, irreducibly linked in such a way that they lose their separate distinction within an overall quantum process. The creative and immaterial aspect of light has called forth and precipitated out of itself, in fully materialized form, an organ similar to itself, so as to reveal itself, be seen, and known. Similarly, physicists, macro emanations of the subatomic world, are the reflecting mirror for atoms to experience and become aware of their own nature. It's as if atoms wish to know about themselves and dreamed up physicists, which from the atom's point of view are vast self-reflective ensembles of themselves, to accomplish this. The observer participant is both a result of an evolutionary process and in some sense the cause of its own emergence. Wheeler wonders, is observership the electricity that powers genesis? In other words, mind-boggling as it is to contemplate, are we, as observer participants, playing a role in the genesis of the cosmos in this very moment? According to Wheeler, it is incontrovertible that the observer is participator in genesis. It is difficult to see any other line that lends itself to exploration. What other way of genesis is there? Wheeler is reflecting that we play a role in the creation of the universe that has been normally reserved for the gods. Wheeler delighted in thinking about the conceptual frontiers of cosmology, what he referred to as the flaming ramparts of the world. His far-out speculations might be more easily dismissed if it weren't for his unassailable credentials and his countless important technical contributions to the field of physics. He has earned the right to have his oftentimes mind-stretching opinions be taken seriously. In contemplating these practically theological questions, Philip K. Dick writes, "We are all but cells in a colossal mad brain that both makes and perceives reality. There is some relationship between the creating of reality and perceiving of it. The percipient is cosmogenitor, or conversely, the cosmogenitor wound up as an unwilling percipient of its own creation. To the extent we are unaware that the reality we are perceiving is the very reality we are creating, think of an ordinary non-lucid dream, we are deluded, actually deluding ourselves. We are then but individual cells in a colossal mad brain, whereby we are contributing, through our delusion and lack of awareness of what we are doing, to the greater collective psychosis that has taken over the body politic of our species." Psychosis is defined as a condition in which there is a profound loss of contact with external reality. How else, other than a newly realized form of psychosis, would we describe a situation in which someone believes there is an actually existing external reality when in fact there is no such thing? It should be pointed out that the nature of delusions is that the delusional always believe they are non-delusional, while believing that the non-delusional are the ones who are deluded. I can only imagine what it must have been like for the founders of quantum physics to stumble upon the quantum realm. They must have felt like explorers from a faraway land coming across something completely unknown and mysterious. Wheeler uses the example of someone seeing an automobile for the first time. Conjecturing on what it is like to encounter this mysterious phenomenon, Wheeler writes that thoughts arise such as, "It is obviously meant for use, and an important use. But what use?" In his example, the automobile is the quantum. One opens the door, cranks the window up and down, flashes the lights on and off, perhaps even turns over the starter, all the while without knowing what it's really for. Similarly, we use the quantum in a transistor to control machinery, in a molecule to design an anesthetic, in a superconductor to make a magnet. All are great advances that we are using to our advantage, but are we missing the main idea? Wheeler asks, could it be that all the time we've been missing the central point, the use of the quantum phenomena in the construction of the universe itself? We have turned over the starter. We haven't got the engine going. This is similar to if Copernicus used his equations to calculate planetary positions but missed the main point, that is, that the Earth goes around the Sun. This brings to mind Einstein's assertion that what is most basic in physics is not the mathematics, but rather the underlying concepts. In quantum physics, words cannot replace mathematics, and mathematics cannot replace words. Both are needed for a full understanding. Until we understand the central idea that is offered to us by the quantum, to quote Wheeler, we have not met the challenge that is right there. Could it be that quantum physics revelation is so profoundly simple and obvious that in its light, the previously held ideas of science would seem as laughable as the doctrine that the Earth is flat? In talking about the quantum, Wheeler evokes the creation of the Hawaiian Islands, which were built on the fertility of volcanic ash and decomposed lava, literally formed by the moving fire beneath the surface. Each stage of our understanding of the quantum he likens to a further eruption. He writes, "So the quantum, fiery creative force of modern physics has burst forth in eruption after eruption, and for all we know, the next may be greatest of all." Is the eruption after eruption into physics of the quantum the doorway into deepening our understanding of the very architecture and engineering of the creation of the universe itself? Wheeler refers to quantum phenomena as untouchable, indivisible, elementary acts of creation that reach into the present from billions of years in the past, while at the same time reaching into the distant past from the present moment, thereby realizing the particular universe we find ourselves inhabiting. Wheeler views these elementary acts of creation as the building material of all that is. Out of all the signs that testify to quantum phenomena as being the elementary acts of creation, Wheeler considers their untouchability to be their most striking feature. We have come no closer than before to penetrating the untouchable interior of the quantum phenomenon. This can be equated to how a finger can't touch itself. An eyeball, which is what is doing the seeing, can't spin around and see itself as an object without a mirror, or a flashlight can't shine on itself. All of these examples only lead to infinite regress. The experience of touch is related to the idea of substantiality. Physicist, mathematician, and astronomer Sir James Jeans writes, "For substantiality is a purely mental concept measuring the direct effect of objects on our sense of touch." This brings to mind Buddhism's notion of emptiness, which is the intrinsic nature of all of the seemingly substantial forms of our universe, but yet is similarly untouchable. This is analogous to how a mirage of water in the desert doesn't make the sand wet. Similarly, the empty nature of the quantum realm is beyond, transcendent to, the merely physical dimension of the universe, even though it is what makes up the physical. Quantum physics reveals that the seemingly solid and substantial physical world is actually composed of something that is not physical at all, but rather mental. Wheeler openly wonders, are billions upon billions of acts of observer participancy the foundation of everything? The very fact that we can ask, in Wheeler's words, such a strange question shows how far we are from understanding the deeper foundations of the quantum and its ultimate implications. Wheeler is openly wondering whether billions upon billions of acts of observer participancy by innumerable beings over countless eons is the very quantum process which has created our world, literally dreaming our world into materialization in this very moment. Wheeler ponders whether the very term Big Bang is merely a shorthand way to describe the cumulative effects of these billions upon billions of acts of observer participancy. In his textbook on quantum theory, Wheeler asks, "Beyond particles, beyond fields of force, beyond geometry, beyond space and time themselves, is the ultimate constituent the still more ethereal act of observer participancy? Are we, through our ongoing acts of observing the universe, the ultimate constituent which makes the whole universe?" Regarding how the universe came into being, Wheeler asks, "Is the mechanism that came into play one which all the time shows itself? Is enfolded within our seemingly simple present moment experience the primordial creative act which reflects the genesis of the entire cosmos? Does the mystery of the world's ongoing creation lie in the present moment, in the eternal now? Is the key to the mystery of existence hiding in plain sight, encoded within the simplicity and naturalness of our ordinary everyday awareness, within and as our own mind?" Wheeler continues, "For a process of creation that can and does operate anywhere, that reveals itself and yet hides itself, what could one have dreamed up out of pure imagination more magic and fitting than this? What more fitting physics could we have, in Wheeler's words, dreamed up out of pure imagination to reflect back to us the magic of our dreamlike world? A process which itself is an expression of the dreamlike nature, we have dreamed up quantum physics to reflect the dreamlike nature of the universe back to us. In trying to understand nature, as if by magic, physics is helping us rediscover our nature." Reflecting upon the importance of asking the right question, Wheeler writes, "We ask today, how did the universe come into being? Realizing full well that how properly to ask the question is also part of the question. We live in a universe that is capable not only of harboring life, but of cultivating life which is intelligent enough to wonder and ask about its origins. Why do we think that the universe isn't imbued with conscious intelligence when it gives birth to conscious intelligences? The fact that consciousness is an emergent property of the universe implies, given the underlying wholeness of the universe, that consciousness is one of the intrinsic ingredients of the universe. It is as though the universe is curious about itself, and through its intrinsic sentience, is capable of reflecting upon itself. As if living in a dreaming universe, in this process of self-reflection, the universe, just like ourselves, has the capability of becoming a lucid dreamer. Through us, the universe questions itself and tries out various answers on itself in an effort parallel to our own to decipher its own being. In the process of observing and reflecting upon our universe, we are actually changing the universe's idea of itself." In his textbook on quantum theory, Wheeler tells the following story. An old legend describes a dialogue between Abraham and Jehovah. Jehovah chides Abraham, "You would not even exist if it were not for me." "Yes, Lord, that I know," Abraham replies, "but also you would not be known if it were not for me." In our time, the participants in the dialogue have changed. They are the universe and man. In Wheeler's vision, humanity is the cipher through which the universe, and in the old legend, God, becomes aware of itself. To quote scientist Carl Sagan, "We are a way for the universe to know itself." In an imaginary dialogue, Wheeler replies to the universe, "Yes, O universe, without you I would not have been able to come into being. And yet, you could never even exist without elementary acts of registration, that is, observation such as mine." Compare this with the words of theologian Meister Eckhart. "Man cannot live without God, but God cannot live without man either. Without man, God wouldn't know he existed." It should get our attention that one of the greatest scientists of the 20th century is saying things that sound just like one of the most eminent mystic visionaries from centuries past. In expressing the point of view that we play a key participatory role regarding the coming into being of the universe, Wheeler is in the good company of wisdom holders the world over. In becoming conscious, we become the instruments through which whatever we call it, God, the universe, the Creator, the universal mind, etc., becomes aware of itself. Speaking about the divine service that humanity can render, Jung writes in his autobiography, "It is so that light may emerge from the darkness, that the Creator may become conscious of His creation, and man conscious of himself." Every advance, every conceptual achievement of humanity has always been connected to an expansion of self-awareness. This expansion of self-awareness is necessarily an expansion of the universe's awareness of itself. Wheeler comments, "And then at last an inspiration, a feeling that we who felt ourselves so small amidst it all are in the end the carriers of the central jewel, the flashing purpose that lights up the whole dark universe." His words bring to mind Jung's similar reflection that man is indispensable for the completion of creation, that in fact, he himself is the second creator of the world.